The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mike Earle of KDSN Radio in Denison and Steve Woodhouse of the Knoxville Journal Express and Pella Chronicle. The first question will come from KDSN's Mike.
Thank you. Senator, obviously the SCOTUS nomination by the president yesterday, does that change anything from your stance at all? And where do you see that process moving?
Well, I think we made it very clear that following on some principles laid down by Biden and also Schumer, and to some extent even by Reid, that this is something that during the last year of a president that's can't be in office again, that it ought to go over to a new president to make a decision filling this vacancy. And so it isn't about Judge Garland or any other individual that could have been nominated. It's about the principle of the voters having a voice.
And I heard you say that, you know, the Senate has a great deal of work to do, but yet there's still going to be an Easter break. Why does the Senate continue to get long holiday breaks like that, even when there's a lot of work to get done?
I would be very apologetic about a two-week break. I wouldn't be apologetic about a one-week break because there's a lot of consideration in the United States Senate for religious liberties for different members of Congress and their respective families, and more important, respect for their religion. So for Christians, that would be Christmas, and it'd be Easter, a couple Jewish holidays during the month of September, usually. Sometimes in October that happens. But we don't need 2 weeks. And the other thing is, your question would imply that the only work that the Senate or a senator does, I'm not talking about the Senate as an institution, but the only work that a senator does is here in Washington, D.C. It's more than half of my work, for sure, but it's a far cry from 100% of my work, because a great deal of my work is keeping in touch with my constituents in the principle of representative government. So, whether we have a one-week Easter break or a two-week Easter break, which I said was too long, but 1 week wouldn't be too long. Either way, I'm going to be working, holding town meetings and communicating with my constituents in the principle of dialogue being basic to representative government. My being one half of that process, my constituents the other one half.
Senator, as the Republican process of selecting a nominee for president is moving on, there are still a number of candidates left, but the process of a brokered convention or the talk of selecting someone other than the person who receives the most primary delegates, do you see that possibility happening? And how would you swing your support in any convention where somebody didn't get to that magic number where the nomination is automatically theirs?
Well, let me answer your question generally and then specifically about your question about me. I hope there's not a convention decision. I hope that somebody gets a nomination a long time before July, the whatever date it is we meet. I think we need the extra time to get ready for the November election. And also, I know people vote in primaries and caucuses, but the nominees actually selected by the delegates, not by the number of popular, or not by the number of votes you get in a caucus or a primary. So delegates are selected under different, maybe 50 different ways in 50 different states, and how they're divided up among the people that run. Sometimes there's winner take all, and sometimes it's divided up proportionately. Those delegates that go there are going to make the final decision, even if it's obvious that somebody already has most of the delegates, which has been the case in the Republican nomination only once since 1952, as I can recall, and that would have been 1976 between Reagan and Ford. Now, you asked what I might be doing. I've made a point that because I can go to the convention and get access to the convention floor, I'm going to let some other Iowan have the opportunity to be a delegate. So I won't be a delegate, and I won't be voting.
If you had to choose between Mr. Trump, I know you were at Mr. Trump's rally in Pella a while back, and Mr. Cruz, which would you support, you think?
Well, I better not say, because I've said that I'm going to reserve judgment and until we get our nominee. It happens that I know more about Cruz, and I don't know as much about Trump as I would like to, because he has not made his views clear on about his running a government and on a lot of different problems. He hasn't put forth policy problems. And if he's going to be our nominee, he's going to have to do that, and I'll know a little bit more about him at that particular point. And it looks like he could be our nominee, and it also looks like he could be our nominee without going to convention. The reason why I said kind of refusing to answer your question, quite frankly, is because I was going to stay out of the race in Iowa. Well, if I said who I'm for now, I should have said who I was going to be for before February 1st caucuses, because I would have had more, if I had any influence at all, it would have been more in Iowa than in the 20 or 30 states that still have to have primaries. So it's just a case of being consistent, I think. You did say it was right. I was at Trump's rally. I spent maybe 5 minutes talking to him at that particular time. But don't forget, I was in that same period of time, I was at with 10 other candidates introducing them to their respective rallies.
Senator, the GMO label bill was going through the Senate. Where does that stand, and where do you stand on that particular topic?
Well, I stood three different places, and they were all compromised down to something I didn't like as well, but I still would have voted for the one that was compromised down more. My position a year ago after the House passed a bill was to go along with the Pompeo bill. Well, that can't fly in the Senate. So then Senator Roberts worked hard to get a bill voted out of committee about 3 weeks ago, and I voted to bring that bill out of committee. Then he got it out of committee, and it didn't look like it was going to get 60 votes in the United States Senate, so he tried to compromise with people that were mostly Democrats, because they tended to have most of the opposition to it, and he came up with a compromise that he thought might get 60 votes, and I said, I will vote for that, because almost anything is better than having 50 different states having 50 different branding and labeling requirements, because you can't run a national processing company and expect to be able to have 50 different labels for stuff you're selling. You got to have one national label. And so Congress, in trying to pass this bill, is exercising its constitutional authority to regulate interstate commerce and override the Vermont bill. Now that we didn't get 60 votes yesterday, then we don't have a national labeling bill. So you've got 49 states without a labeling law that they can sell into. And I imagine most of these processing companies are going to say it's just not worth doing business in Vermont, and then let the Vermont people deal with that. And maybe they'll come to the conclusion, if they don't get enough quality and diversity of food supply, then they might decide to repeal their law, and then we wouldn't have to deal with this in the first place. Thank you, Mike and Steve, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.